What's your pleasure, sir?
The podcast.
Take it. It's yours. It always was.
Welcome to A Taste of Hell. Now playing Hellraiser Retrospective Series.
We have such sights to show you.
With Jacob, Stuart, and Arnie.
Demons to some, angels to others.
Hello, Hellraisers. This is Jacob.
This is Stuart.
And this is Arnie.
And this week we're discussing Hellraiser Inferno, the fifth installment in the Hellraiser series with director Scott Derrickson. You know, Doctor Strange, Sinister, a real director this time.
Burn, baby, burn. Hellraiser Inferno.
Yes, let's see where Scott started out with this Hellraiser film. Take a listen.
I'm even more inclined not to give this guy a pass. Once he starts making these deductions here at the crime scene, he's going to open up a book and the guy used cocaine. He's going to steal it. He's going to steal his money. But he's also going to find that there's a finger in the candle.
Now, here's a bit of a plot hole. Whose finger is this?
It's his inner child.
No.
Yes.
He's not opened the box yet.
Well, this is all loop to me.
It starts when he opens the box. This is reality. We're in his life.
We see that he can make different decisions every day, so I feel like he could have gone through all this, but it's Groundhog Day. He's finally realized in this film that he's been reliving the same day over and over.
Yeah, and Jay Cho opened the box. We see that there's a pile of organs and chains lying there, which, by the way, I saw in his driver's license. He's an organ donor, so they need to scrape that up very carefully.
And we saw in the original Hellraiser film, the Cenobites were very clean. They cleaned up after Frank and didn't leave the bloody mess. Have they gotten lazy, or are they just like, oh, Jay, you just made such a screw mess?
It is just Pinhead now. He lost his mate, so
yeah.
He doesn't want to do all the cleaning himself.
Hey, he's got a couple hottie twins now and half a chatterer.
Yeah, they're falling apart here.
But the Jay Cho murder is our inciting incident to keep things going, that he isn't really too interested in the case yet because he doesn't realize it's a child's finger. He does find the puzzle box underneath the candle, takes it with him to go see the hooker, and opens the box in the bathroom. And I think this is when it happens. I think that the movie wouldn't necessarily make sense for him to open the box once he's in it. I think now we're in hell. That's what I took the very first time. He opens it, he passes out, he wakes up on the floor of the bathroom, and now he's in his own personal hell.
No Christopher Young theme that I can tell. They do something on a toy piano that's kind of like it.
They said they wanted the original puzzle box music, but it was too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when, you know, he has this dream where we're going to see like half a second of Pinhead, but we hear the child, help me, help. I'm like, oh, okay, he already started off this movie saying, my life is going to become the greatest puzzle, and he's motivated by helping this child. I'm like, the child's himself. This is all going to loop around. I figured this one out very quickly. I didn't figure out how stupid it was going to be with all the different fingers and what they represented. But yeah, the fact that this is about a child and he's self-reflective at the beginning, it just gives it all away to me. This script is not as smart as it wants to be. I think this is a high school script that Scott Derrickson wrote.
Yeah, they do not disguise very well the twist ending that they have planned for us. And I don't think they should try. I think at a certain point that they should admit to this, and why not make Pinhead the main character? We've all enjoyed Doug Bradley. He's been the best thing about these sequels, at least. And I definitely feel like he's the only thing that's carrying over from the old movies. It's kind of what I said in the first podcast. You know, if we enter their world by figuring out a puzzle, they're at that point trying to figure out us. Why would Pinhead like this guy? I don't like this guy, but why does Pinhead want him? And what does Pinhead get out of deconstructing and humiliating characters like this?
And this is where I think Derrickson, I don't know if you guys know this about Derrickson because I didn't. He is a highly religious man.
Okay, that's going to explain it all here, because I feel like Pinhead becomes God, like Old Testament God, maybe. Or, you know, he's not there to rip flesh apart because it brings sexual pleasure. Mm-mm. This feels like, I'm going to punish the sinners now. I'm the devil with my pitchfork.
Yeah, Jigsaw or Dr. Phil, you know, yes. The worst of society.
Or Dr. Kill, as the case may be. But Derrickson brought his own Christian viewpoint here. He also hadn't seen the other Hellraiser films. He had seen the first one. He did say he went back and watched the others, but he liked the first one. He says he can like horror stuff, but he says he never wants to again make a film as gory as this one, as brutal as this one. And he did it because he was trying to make a career, and I guess he bent his morals just a little bit in order to get his foot in the door in Hollywood. But there's a reason why the hooker doesn't take her clothes off and all that. He is really spiritual and religious and conservative. But he thinks horror, much like we talked about on the Exorcist podcast, how horror can be a way for Christians to confront their faith. He likes horror on that level. He doesn't like horror in the I'm going to pull your flesh slowly apart with chains level. He wouldn't like Saw.
Yeah. It's why he made something like Exorcism of Emily Rose, is because in an exorcist story, it's about triumphing. If you have the strong enough faith, you can defeat any evil.
So here, what I think we have is the problem of Derrickson's own bias coming in, because he thinks he's taking it back to Hellraiser in that Thorne here is our Frank. But what happened is Frank opened the box and he was sucked into a hell full of chains and pleasure and pain indivisible. Here, what we have is this guy opens the box, and yeah, he's in a nightmarish Groundhog's Day scenario that is befitting an EC Comics, but it's not a Hellraiser hell as we've been taught it. It is far more a Christian devil punishment than it is how Tony Randall, director of Part 2, not the Odd Couple guy, said that hell is another place and they call it hell, but it has nothing to do with devils and gods.
I think the problem for me is it's not an inferno. It isn't hell. It's purgatory. It's boring. It's endless. It's monotonous. It's the same thing again and again and again. He'll be hectored and lectured at every given turn here. And because we have no desire to see this character triumph. I mean, I guess if you come to this as a spiritual person, you might wish that everyone overcomes their evils and embraces God and gets out of this. You would hope that Joe would at some point give up his arrogance and embrace the cross, but I have no desire to see this guy saved. I'm waiting for the hooks to come out, and it does take another hour from this point in order to get there. That is a huge mistake.
If you'd like to hear us review more Scott Derrickson, our Sinister reviews and Doctor Strange reviews are on the main feed. You can find them under archives at nowplayingpodcast.com. And if you'd like to hear this review of Hellraiser 5 and all of our Hellraiser films, they're part of our Fall 2017 donation drive that's rapidly coming to a close. We're past Thanksgiving, we're into the holidays. We know money can get tight around this time, but we do look to our listeners to support this show. We are a crowdfunded show, and we couldn't do it without your support. So if you have a few extra dollars during this holiday season, we'd greatly appreciate a donation. And if you donate $10 or more, you get 5 bonus podcasts, the Phantasm Retrospective series that I had a lot of fun doing. I didn't know any of those films. I really enjoyed reviewing all 5. If you donate $25 or more, you're going to get a total of 15 bonus reviews. The 5 Phantasm films, we're doing the 9 Hellraiser films that are out now. We thought Hellraiser Judgment would come out this year, and it isn't, but when that comes out, you will get that 10th review as well. So that's 15 extra movie reviews, all of them over an hour, for $25. If you go $35 or more, we're going to throw in 3 Jeepers Creepers reviews stretching into the new year. And if you go to the playing level of $45 or more, you get 7 more reviews on top of that. A total of 25 reviews for $45. 7 Child's Play, 3 Jeepers Creepers, 10 Hellraisers, and 5 Phantasms. It's a lot of horror. It's a lot of fun.
I feel like there should be a partridge in a pear tree
somewhere
in there.
5 Golden Rings, 9 Lords of Leaping, 5 Phantasms, 10 Hellraisers, 3 Jeepers Creepers,
7 Child's Play.
And we really could use your support. Find the details by clicking the link at the top of our page. Talk to you Tuesday.
This is Retrospective Series, and your suffering will be legendary, even in hell.
This isn't for your eyes.
It's not hands that call us. It is donations.
Oh, come. Oh, you can hear its faint echo right now. I'm here to turn up the volume.
Your financial support keeps this show going for eternity.
Why resist? You love this as much as I.
You will find more pleasures and sweet, sweet suffering in the Now Playing Archives. You can satiate your appetites with reviews of Leprechaun, Child's Play, Phantasm, and so many more.
Feel free. Explore. We have eternity.
For the insatiable, join the Podbean campaign and get exclusive movie reviews, including Clive Barker's Lord of Illusions and Get Out. A link to our Patreon page is at nowplayingpodcast.com/donate.
Still hungry? Ready for something that screams?
The Hellraiser Films. All audio clips and music used are the property of their respective copyright holders, and no infringement is intended.
Hell is more ordered since your time, Princess, and much less amusing.
Venganza Media Incorporated is not affiliated with the motion picture review or otherwise referred to herein.
I know your fear. I hear it.
The trademarks Now Playing and Now Playing Podcast are the exclusive property of Venganza Media Incorporated.
Oh, you suffer beautifully. But I am here for business, not pleasure.
The opinions expressed on Now Playing are those of the individual hosts and may not reflect the opinion of Venganza Media Incorporated.
The eternal refrain of humanity. Pleading ignorance, begging for mercy. Please help me, I don't understand.
Now Playing is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2017. All rights reserved, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated.
Welcome to the worst nightmare of all. Reality.